Aloha everybody, tonight's The War Room Show is brought to you by thewarhq.co.uk, those wonderful guys who are dedicated to the bolt action hobbyist. Why not get down there, buy your stuff, and in your basket, enter the code POD21 for a 15% discount on your purchases. And once you've done that, listen on to the show. Hi guys, aloha, tonight right. We have Harrison. Right. He said he would be tipsy, but he's looking very sober.
No, it's just...
he's a tired boy.
Very tired tonight. I don't sleep enough.
Doesn't sleep enough, burning the candle. But we are back on the War Room Show. And what have you been working on? Because you asked me for some undercoat tonight.
Yes.
Which means there's a mystery in. Are you going to spill the beans yet?
Well, yeah. So I'm doing Stormtroopers for Star Wars Legion.
Yep.
It's not bolt action.
Oh, no, I thought it was something bolt action-y.
No, I'm going to do some like Imperial Guard kill team as well.
Mm. So, what else will be going on in bolt action world? Entries for the Scottish Nationals are up in September, but I don't think you're going to be able to make it.
Oh, I'm busy. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, to be honest.
Going through a mud pool.
Probably. I don't know what's...
But I tell you who has come. We have the Danish team from World Team Championships, or some of them, and our neutralised Dane, who was part of the Scottish B team. They've all signed up.
Oh, that's quite good.
So they're coming across, and the rumour is that the German team are going to come, or some of them are going to come across, for the Scottish Nationals. So there's something that's come out of WTC. Very positive.
I was going to ask you... Completely sidetrack it.
Yeah.
What's the deal with these new GW paints?
The new GW paints, well, that is a sidetrack. So, for some of you that don't know, GW have bought out some new paints. And the paints, to put it in a nutshell, are supposed to shade and highlight all at the one time.
So, are they a base? Do you paint the base and put them on top?
You're supposed to put a special base coat on, which is a special undercoat. And then you paint these over the top, and it's, as I say, supposed to do your highlighting, etc.
So
essentially, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, it's kind of like a wash.
It's like, okay,
but it's not as opaque as a wash, because a wash does the same. A wash slightly shades it and it falls into the
if I'm playing Ultramarines because I'm boring, I spray them with a special grey underspray, or is it a blue underspray?
I think in actual fact you can use any, but it's a special white underspray.
So it's a white underspray, and then I get the blue.
You get the blue layer.
Well, and it does it all for me.
And in theory, it does it all for you. So it kind of, to my mind, it kind of works like a thick wash. So it's going to run into the crevices, so where there's more paint and more pigment, it'll look darker.
Right.
And on the raised surfaces where it runs off, it'll look lighter. And I get it, but it's kind of like, it's kind of just a wash. It's a clever idea, but I don't know.
Have you used it?
I haven't used it yet.
Do you intend on
using
it?
I've seen a couple of people who have already put up videos saying, if you don't want to pay GW prices, this is how you make your own.
Oh,
it's kind of like they've thought of the idea and then everybody else is going, but that's just such and such. So most people are using Flow Improver, which is kind of the fluid that paint is made of, and you put your pigment into it. So they use a bit more Flow Improver to make it thinner. I haven't used it. I've not used any of the made-up ones to see, and I don't know whether I would use it. I kind of like the genius idea that
it's simpler, but magic, because now my bubbles can look better without me actually having to learn
techniques. That's fantastic. I totally get it, because I remember
my bottles look better.
When I started painting, I did something similar with a green spray paint.
Oh.
And it came out looking absolutely awesome, just because it all pooled, and it did a very similar thing to this, completely by chance, but it made it look as though I'd highlighted everything. So, you know.
But like edge highlighting is also a big deal for it, isn't it? Everyone edge highlights fucking everything.
They like edge highlighting. I personally, when I do edge, I don't like a line going right the way along. I like it to go part the way along, because if you look naturally, when you get a sharp edge, say on a car, it doesn't always go right the way along. It's still, anyway, that's just me. So I'm
all right. Well, that was my main question. Was a What's so deal? I think it will be good, and I think for somebody like you, it would be a great investment. I think probably once you've used them, if you're more interested in painting, you would probably want to progress onto something else. But I think it's a fantastic idea. I think you could do it for yourself, but why bother if you can buy it in a paint pot?
Yeah.
The difficulty would be matching up colours for bolt action. Mm-hmm. But I haven't even looked up the full amount of colours, but GW have got a really good range of colours. I thought there was more than that in actual but I don't know because I haven't looked at
it. Right, so I thought, so it was like, oh, he can't really do everything with it right now. But presumably when they bring out paints, they're not going to bring out base paint. They're just going to be like, well, this is all.
Well, I mean, there'll be an ultramarine one for sure. I can guarantee you that.
Well, it's like,
well, I don't know what other colours they've got.
I imagine instead of bringing out base paint, layer paint, they're just bringing out, like, all right, we're going to stop making all three. We're just going to make this one, which does everything.
No, I think they'll have the two sets. I think, like you say, it's great for people that maybe don't really like painting that much or are new to painting or something like that. But I think the old diehards like me all want to go, well, I highlighted mine. Okay. It depends how interested you are in the painting side of things, or, you know, how much experience you have in the painting. I think it's a great thing. Yes, you can probably do it otherwise, but, and it's like one of those things you go, why has nobody else ever done that before? Mm. Yeah, but I know some painters that paint in washes. So essentially they're doing the same thing. So for our good friend Bill Ferguson.
So he painted the whole model from the washes?
Not the whole model, but quite a lot of it. He uses wash rather than layering. And a lot of people buy his models because they like them. You know, it's a different style to the way I paint. Nothing wrong with that. So it's not necessarily a new thing, but they've kind of managed to go, hey guys, isn't this a wonderful idea, and pushed it out there, and I think it's excellent.
Cool.
Okay. So this sounds like Uncle Paul's masterclass tonight.
Well, no, the thing is, I seem to be painting a lot of black and white.
I think it would be great for black, because I think black and white are quite difficult colours to actually do.
So I've realised I'm painting.
I don't know if they have black and white, but the thing for me would be, like, I would maybe go around doing black boots like that. The moment I do black boots, a kind of wash style, so I paint them grey and use black wash to get my boots, and they come out really easy rather than having to highlight everything. So it's a similar idea.
I'm painting stormtroopers, which are white, primarily white.
Yeah.
And then I'm painting Imperial Guardsmen, which are wearing black. That's a bit like.
Yeah, I think if I was doing the white, I don't know if they've got a white one, but I'd probably paint a very sort of light grey or light blue underneath the white, and then use the white, whatever it is, one coat thingy over the top. Yeah. And black. I don't know what to do with black.
I've been told you put a little bit of red ink into like a black wash, it comes out really well.
Oh, I haven't heard that. So that's a new one on me.
Apparently, like, because you don't see the red, but it tricks your eye into making like the darker bits a lot darker. That's what I've heard on a podcast I listened to.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. I'll maybe try that. So do they use black ink, or do they use red ink, or do they use a red wash?
They think they use a black wash and then put a little bit of red ink into it. That's what they said, but I don't know. I thought inks and washes are the same things.
They're very similar, yeah. Right. They're very similar. Not quite the same, but they are very similar.
But you put like a little, probably put a little bit of red in, and makes the black look.
Something to try.
Yeah.
Oh, so what else is going on in modelling world then?
Not much. No, I didn't have time. Now I've got plenty of time.
You've now got plenty of time, so can we see about four armies produced in the next month?
Oh, sure, I could do it. I don't like the idea of sitting playing, like sitting watching YouTube for a month, or sitting playing Xbox for a month. So hopefully I'll get lots of modelling done.
Ooh, so yes, so what else is going on? Jamie's models came out.
How did they do? How do they look?
Have you not seen them? I thought you maybe had a quick glance. They look absolutely brilliant. They look as good, if not better, than I thought they were going to be. Some of them were, I think two of them were slightly tricky to put together, but I think that's because I made a mess of them rather than Jamie's models are a mess. It's not my fault. But I've undercoated them white. 90% painted two of them, and I've undercoated them all white. So I'm going to take some pictures and things and put them up on the War Room YouTube show. But they look really, really, really nice.
That's good.
And then Sander from May 40 Miniatures, he's producing
Kickstarter again, and we know our views on Kickstarters.
I'm just not a big fan.
But he's producing a Kickstarter for Early War Fallschirmjäger for the Dutch. But he's actually got most of his models already done.
Okay.
So he's partly doing Kickstarter as a promotion thing, and partly because he's talking about getting about 70 miniatures made.
Yeah.
He's got about 35 of them already made, and he's looking to sort of fund the rest of those. So the rest of those models will be on the...
A 10-man squad.
I know, there's a lot of figures. I'm not exactly sure how they're all out, but...
I think there is quite a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't know how they'll come out, but Sander's definitely a good guy, so... Have a look at those. What else is going on, Bolt Action World? D-Day! D-Day is coming up soon.
Very soon.
June the 6th, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the weekend after most of D-Day events are happening. We've got Warlord are running a D-Day campaign day down at Nottingham, which is going to include not only Bolt Action but Blood Red Skies and Cruel Seas. So it'll be interesting to see how that all fits together. I haven't seen the rules. I have seen the rules pack. I haven't seen the rules for the campaign to see how they all fit together. Oh. So it'll be interesting to see how that does. I know over in America they've already used some sort of a campaign thing with Cruel Seas and Blood Red Skies. But I really enjoyed Blood Red Skies. Had another demo. I think I've had about 4 demos now. And I love the demo games. Yeah. That was up at Dwarf with our friend Bill Shiel.
Mm.
Took us through. It wasn't Bill Shiel, actually. I take it back.
Was it Richard?
It was Richard. Yeah. Take it back. Sorry, Richard. Richard took us through Blood Red Skies. So I'm really enjoying Blood Red Skies, although I'm not really playing very much yet.
I want to see the fairy swordfish. I want to sink the Bismarck.
I don't know if they've done cards, but they've done a lot of cards for planes that they don't produce yet, simply because you can get planes from all sorts of places. So I wonder if they have a fiery swordfish and you could just get the models and use them.
I'd be so up for that. I was going to think Erwan. Has anyone... No, was it Warlords of Erewhon?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I've not seen anyone play it.
I don't think we've got many rule sets, because the rule sets for Warlords of Erewhon, nowhere backwards. Yeah, Erewhon. They ran out of them so quickly. So, yet again, our dear friends at Warlord have underestimated demand, which is a good thing. It's the best problem to have. And I think they're now on their third production run of rulebooks.
That's good.
Which is good, but it just means many guys here at the club have copies. I've got a copy to give to a couple of guys at the club. Mm. But apparently it plays really well, although I've never even had a demo of it yet. If I have time and I'm going to go down on D-Day, due the 6th, because I'm due to go off to the French Nationals. I'll stop at Nottingham and I'll maybe see if I can get a wee demo of Erewhon. But it could be quite good and it could work quite well for... I don't know, it might work quite well for Bolt Action. Well, not Bolt Action, you know, like for a wee skirmishy game before Raiders comes out.
I'm excited for that.
Looking forward to Raiders. I'm still not exactly sure what's going to be in Raiders. At one time I had a really good idea of exactly what was going to be in Raiders. And since then, it all seems to have changed yet again. So, we'll see.
I don't think it's going to be...
Yeah, but I just like the idea of the game being...
What I want...
One dice per man.
What I want is kill team. But, like, Bolt Action. But I'm not going to get that. I don't think I'm going to get that. I think we're going to get character cards. Because everyone seems to be insistent in using cards these days. In their games. I don't like cards. Carrying cards about personally.
I don't think there have been any character cards in anything I've seen yet. I've got to watch what I say. It doesn't mean there won't be character cards. I could see it be a thing they would do. I haven't personally seen them in all the rebook. If people don't know, I read over a lot of these things behind the scenes. And I've got to watch what I say, but I haven't seen any character cards yet. Doesn't mean there won't be.
I can see it going down that route.
It could be. I don't know if it's a bad thing or not. Depends if you use... Because some of the things like Blood Red Skies uses what essentially is a character card for Aces.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm waiting to see. I guess I'll give it a go.
Like, was that Flames of War and Team Yankee? Just see, like, cards and stuff? I'm like, I just can't bother it.
I think the cards are more like stat cards. Mm. And once you've played the game, you don't need the stat cards. It's like in Blood Red Skies, you get a stat card for the Spitfire.
Yeah.
But once you've played a couple of times, you know what, because there's only like three or four things on the stat card, and it's like, eh.
See, I don't like it. I don't know why. I don't like cards. Too much to carry about. And it's like, well, I'm never going to use that. So why don't
I? Well, one thought I had was, one of the things, if you're playing a game, and you get to the end, you're playing a scenario, one of the things, at the start of a scenario, you're always looking at your book to find out what's in the scenario. Because they're all different and we can't all remember them all the time. And when you get to the end of the game, you're always looking at your book again to find out what the victory conditions are. Because sometimes you need to be quite careful about how they're worded as to... So I kind of wondered if it wouldn't be worth having a scenario card that just gave you the bullet points of the setup and the victory conditions. That might be something I'd use. Because I like the little stat cards you got in the tanks. I think it's a brilliant idea, but I never use them.
I've never seen you use them, though.
Exactly. So it's one of those things that, sounds like a brilliant idea, but I'm never going to use it, so it's not very practical. I think it would be good for new players, but they'd need to have a whole pack of cards so they could have their whole army, so they could have a quick reference. But
and no one's to shift through cards. And you want to use all the cards.
I mean, with Easy Army, you've got a quick reference as it is.
Yeah.
Even though Easy Army isn't totally 100% accurate, it's accurate enough.
Yeah, it's like a playing friendly game. Enough where the convenience of it
outweighs
the mistakes.
It's really convenient and easy. So yeah, don't know about cards.
There's something about re-rules for assault rifles, like assaulting.
What about?
I was thinking of ways you could change the tough fighter special rule.
As long as it makes it stronger for commandos only.
Oh well. I was thinking
commandos got a buff in the FAC.
Submachine guns, right? Don't really take them, should you? Unless you're...
Well, commandos did get to equip themselves as they wanted.
Yeah, but like, I mean, no, I mean...
But they didn't always, everybody just take a submachine.
If you're going to assault, don't take submachine guns, because when you're within submachine gun range, you're going to assault anyway range.
Yeah, I'm coming round to your lane of thought.
So you give them rifles anyway.
Yeah. However, if you're going out flank with them, it's quite handy to have 20 shots instead of 10.
Yeah, that's quite good.
You know, so yeah, it's pros and cons, but yes, I'm coming around to your way of thinking to equip my Royal Marines with rifles now.
Because I get a tough fight.
But I'm thinking of going more historical and saying, yeah, I'll put one. I'll put the NCO with it and the maybe one or two others just to. I'm starting to go down the historical route. Not too historical, but historical-ish.
I wonder why NCOs. And like, we're supposed to carry submachine guns.
Because they got first choice.
Well, I was thinking like, it's a strange... Because the assaulting group, guy with the submachine gun goes first, and that's usually like the corporal. He's like the most experienced. And presumably, you want the guy who goes in the door first to be... It's like the mug who's new, right?
So it's like the death guard, is it?
Yeah,
you give them the Tommy gun and they're like,
you guy, you've got the stem. You've got the pile of shit. So take that, mate. I don't want to go in the door. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I imagine.
It's an odd one.
It was what goes through my head.
It is. But apparently they did, so.
So I was thinking maybe if you have a submachine gun, you should have a bonus to like assaulting in a building.
Oh, yes. I'm game for all that.
So like if you've got...
I think it should be Royal Marines only, though. Just saying.
Like you have a submachine gun.
I've got to get my guys to win somehow.
Like fight first when you're in a building or something?
Yeah. Well, should they be able to shoot on the run in? Because I suppose that's if they had submachine guns, you'd be shooting them on the way in and then assault.
I don't know. Depends how
you do. Right. Technically, I don't think you'd really be assaulting with a submachine... machine gun, you'd be going in and you'd be shooting inside the building. Is that assaulting?
Like the thing we call assaulting in the game isn't going in with a bayonet. So
yeah, because I'm thinking, if I was assaulting, I'd want a big pointy stake with a pointy end on it. But yeah, I suppose it's probably
not broke, don't fix it.
It's not broken, it's a game, not a exact representation, so I'm happy with it. But
just tough fighters need a buff, though.
It doesn't need to be too... I liked that they made Tough Fighters less strong in version 2. But I'd like to see it just a tad bit stronger.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
a That's just me. That's not.
See, my thinking was if we change what some machine guns did,
yeah,
and then you could give people buffs, and then the submachine gun one.
See, you might get something different. When you see Raiders, you might get some very, whatever form it comes out in, we might get some interesting different ways to play little small assaulty teams.
I wonder how assault will be dealt with. Close combat's quite hard to deal with, I think, as a game mechanic. Even in video games. Unless the game is dedicated to being like a sword fighting game, it's quite hard. So if you play Call of Duty, you press B, don't you?
And that's I'm assuming it'll be the same as sort of equal squad against equal squad. You roll a dice and you win or you lose. Might depend how you kit it out. So maybe Commandos can take the Fairburn Sykes and that gives them an edge or something. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it'll come out. If you make one squad vastly more experienced, so the odds are in their favour, you're never going to assault them. Is that any different to having veterans and regular? Not really. I'll shut up. I think I just said a stupid thing there.
I don't know. This thing feels odd.
Mm-hmm. But the fact, did you look at the fact that's come out?
No.
Nope. Okay. Let's see. What can I shock you with then?
I think
Tiger Fear didn't get fixed.
That's a bit weird, but
I thought it was a bit weird. In fact, they buffed Tiger Fear, technically.
Did they?
Well, in the FAQ, they made it clear that if troops are in a transport and the transport can see the tiger, the troops inside get Tiger Fear as well.
Okay.
And I kind of see why. I can see the pros and cons for it, and you've got to make a decision. On the one hand, well, maybe they can't see, but on the other hand, if the guys have got machine gun on the truck, then they can see there's a tiger.
I'd rather,
you know, so I get it. I get it both ways, and there's lots of other little arguments.
Like Tiger Fear was like tiger confidence.
Tiger so confidence.
It gave your units, you can see your tiger plus ones.
That'd be even more controversial.
I think that is, you just have. This means you stop being a prick, going, "Oh, they've got no pins. Veterans no pins. Tiger Fear test, please." It's like,
giving it a buff to your army makes more sense than giving a negative to the other army. For play-wise, so if your guys just got an extra plus one or something if they're within 12 inches, a bit like having a commander. From a play point of view, I can see that might work better. But that's one of the odd things with Tiger Fear, is every time I've asked or be in conversation, they've clung on to the fact that Tiger Fear is a historical thing. And it's like, but this is a game and you keep telling us it's not historically accurate, you know, and it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but that doesn't really play as neatly as we'd like it in the actual game. So anyway, so that didn't take a buff. It did take a buff, it didn't take a hit. They put a little bit, I mean, there's lots of little bits in it, and you know, some of them I like, some of them I don't. Everybody will have their likes and things, but they did put a little bit at the end. So a couple of things, really. I said one, but a couple. One, they said they weren't really going to do FAQ for campaign books.
Okay.
What they said was campaign books are for fun and for campaigns.
Mm.
So play them that way. Be grown up. Make your own decisions about things you're not sure about. We're not going to do FAQ and continue doing FAQ and errata for them.
Makes sense.
And then they went and did some FAQ and errata for them, which didn't make sense.
Okay.
But not much, right enough, but and the thing that went from that is they kind of added on, well, because they're for fun or whatever, they suggest that competitive tournaments just use army off books. Ugh. And I'm not too sure how I feel about that, oddly.
I think they,
at first I thought, oh, we'll just do whatever they say, but I prefer doing it the way we do it in Scotland. It just says play what you want, and you know, just if you want to, just disallow campaign lists. Rather than armies off book seems to be.
Thinking about it now, with not much thought, if I was Warlord, I think I'd be like, do it, do what you fucking want. I wouldn't have anything to do with the competition scene. I'm thinking about it.
I can see what they're trying to do, but then I think it's difficult because I think Warlord, we need to have more measured responses and think about things a bit longer. rather than, because I knew nothing about this. I've worked on documents which are trying to make helpful suggestions to maybe new tournament organisers, etc. And in fact, I'm involved in doing something like that at the moment. Whether it'll ever see the light of the day is a different thing. But I didn't realise they were going to put that in the FAQ.
Oh, it's in the FAQ?
Yeah. Until I saw it. Well, I think it's in the errata, actually. Oh, well, whichever one it's in, it's in.
I just couldn't know where I fucking knew it. I'd be like, yeah, you guys do comms, whatever. You know, we'll have our games days and we'll play how we want
to
do it.
Well, they have said, you know, like, it's up to TOs, but this is what they'd suggest. So I've got a feeling that most people are just going to carry on regardless and do what they've always done. And
yeah, I'm starting to see game rules as more, a lot more like guidelines than rules these days. I was in Edinburgh. I walked past a hairdresser called Captain Barbosa's. I was
really?
Like, arr! Their haircuts are more like guidelines.
Captain Barbosa.
Like, can I have a two
when black sides? When Black Sails comes out, I want it to not say rule book. I want it to say guidelines.
But yeah, it's kind of like, well, if you and your friend are cool with it, yeah, do it. You know.
Yeah, that's always been the warlord way, though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they're dipping their toe into to try and help, I think, how the tournament scene is run and perceived. And they're trying to, at the same time, help campaign people. But I think to say we're not supporting campaign maybe wasn't the best thing. Because people that run campaigns or like the campaign bits and books like to feel they're loved as well. And it's not to mean they aren't loved. It just gives you the gives you that message that they're not, if that makes sense.
Now the value, like, the basically the rule book is paying for the convenience of not having to sit there and make up rules yourself.
Yeah.
Is it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's so inconvenient for me to go, oh, see the women's taxophile, whatever thing.
Oh, that's I've forgotten. I've been challenged to do an army with the women's archers. Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's like, oh, do they, like, if there's something broken, I can just be like, mate, it's kind of ridiculous they can't buy skating shoes, so you have if I pay for the skating shoes points wise. Yeah, sure, okay. You know, it's, don't know if you know that.
Yeah. But that happens quite a lot in competitions as well. People say, oh, can I take such and such? And you go, aye, okay, that's not broken, go for it if you really want to. Because we have seen some strange armies at odd competitions.
Yeah, I like those armies, yeah.
We've seen the three Brandenburger rule list, which was an interesting idea, which I don't think worked terribly practically for either the player or the opponent. And then we had Spanish Civil War.
Oh, cool.
That was a homebrewed PDF that was very good. And we've had one or two others. I mean, remember the guy that played the Eagle Has Landed list? That was good fun. And then there was a guy that did Alolo. He did an Alolo list.
Yeah.
And that's good fun. I don't know if any of the rules were bent or not, but if they were, I'd fully approve.
Yeah, me too.
So you just want to do objective markers with the Madonna with the big boobies. Mm. And you want a forward air observer just so you can have those two the two airmen.
Fairfax and Cass Ayres.
Yeah.
Hello.
Dear. Anyway, that was a whole...
Oh, that's okay.
Things. I'm trying to think what else has been around and changed since we last talked. It's been a while since you played, actually. Or have you been playing with your pal, Jordan?
I've been too busy.
You've been working hard.
Working. And then when I got Fridays off, usually I'm playing Star Wars Legion.
Yeah, you've been playing Star Wars Legion a bit.
Which is good fun. I like Star Wars Legion. That's like a campaign, so it's like going on forever. It's not a bad thing, it's good fun, but I said it doesn't get played much more action. And because at work they stopped doing like shift swaps because people were taking the piss. My former work, people were taking the piss. So they're like, no, you can't do shift swaps anymore. I was like, well, I can't organise school competitions and stuff.
That's a bit of a bummer.
As easily.
Yeah. You need to get a job that gives you time off for competitions. Not too sure your next job will, but anyway.
Probably not.
Well, they might do. They might go, oh, officer Doubt material.
It. Go and play your toy game.
So, what else do we have to talk about, bolt action-wise?
I'd like to like, see more, like, I say historical platoons. Not like... I want people to play actual platoons.
I would love companies,
that. Rather than, oh, this is worth 100 points worth. So if, like, a Russian platoon has got something different than the British platoon, like, let's see what happens. The Russian platoon will probably wreck the British platoon, because Russian platoons are massive and have lots of submachine guns in them,
yeah,
compared to British like platoons.
But then the British might just mow them down before they get there.
I don't know, yeah.
Rapid fire.
So yeah, stuff like that. I'd like to see some actual platoons.
Might do that. I'm starting to come round to the slightly more historical, but then my Commander 47 is pretty historical. Down to the, I know the names of the guys, which is a bit sad, but I feel it's in tribute. But sometimes you can have too many nuts and bolts
for D-Day. Are they rifled up or a mix? I think they're probably
most of them. Well, seeing as you brought the subject up, Harrison. Yeah. 4-7, when they jumped, most of them jumped off the landing crafts into deeper water, so they actually, most of them lost all their equipment. So when they got back on shore, they tooled themselves up with whatever was lying around.
That gives you great opportunities to make
which
whatever
gives you great opportunities. There's in the written records, there's a few details of the weapons, but not a huge amount. But I think it was a pretty much a mixture between rifles, submachine guns, and I would have said about 50% of that would probably have been captured German weapons. Certainly there's instances where they were tooled up with German submachine guns, and they definitely had MG 40-somethings.
42s.
So there was that. And some of the guys had, I know one of the guys had a German field cap on, because it's mentioned in an American tank officer's report. As they came into town, and the poor guy was where they thought he was a German, because he had a German field cap on.
That does not sound like a good idea.
It doesn't, but he had a German, and they just about shot him, and he had to come and say, oh, I'm British.
But yeah, that, you know? don't.
So there's odd stories like that, so yeah, that's my particular speciality I could bore you to death with. And then there was Captain Cousins, who got mentioned in dispatches very unfairly. Should have been a VC, just saying. Not biased at all. With eight other guys, well, with seven other guys, there was eight of them. They rushed a Tobruk machine gun emplacement, and they ran up a hill, because these things are generally in places where you've got a good line of fire. And he was killed by grenade shrapnel that was thrown from the Tobruk, but they actually managed to take the Tobruk over, and it allowed them to capture the whole side of that side of Port Ambassan. So it's basically the port of Port Ambassan is in a river valley that comes down. There's two big outcrops. Mountainous outcrops either side. The Germans have got emplacements on either side. So it allowed them to take that left-hand one as you're looking from the sea towards Pont de Hoc. And he was mentioned in dispatches, but the feeling is that because they were Royal Marines and commandos, they were expected to be braver than anybody else, so they didn't award the VC. So, yeah. Perhaps makes sense, but it's a bit of a shame. But anyway, they've got the plaque and all that kind of stuff. So my French National Army is going to go back to Commander 47, and it's been called the Captain Cousins Memorial Platoon.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know if any of them will get it, to be honest. Because actual Port en Bassin is only about 3 miles away from Overlord Museum, where we'll be.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm hoping to get to Port en Bassin. But we'll see. But there'll be an awful lot going on at so we're going to Overlord Museum for D-Day weekend. One of the accommodation opportunities offered was to sleep in the reenactor's tent, so in the morning you can be woken up by all the tanks getting fired up. And it was like, oh, I don't really want to do it, but you can only do that sort of once. It's like, oh, get one chance to do it.
It sounds good, but also it's like the reenactor
Yeah, there's a whole reenactor thing going on, but it'll be interesting. I wonder what the atmosphere will be like. So it's kind of
see people reenacting commemoration the room, and it'd be spot on. But most people don't reenact the vote room. Most people are like, yeah, Fallschirmjäger. It's like, no.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really see that many German. Reenacting doesn't appeal to me at all. And I know some people are really into it, and that's good on them, but standing around in a field all day, potentially being abused if you're a German by everybody walking along, isn't my idea of fun. But
it's fun playing dress up until you realise... Oh,
and the uniforms are usually that uncomfortable compared to modern clothing. So yeah, it's not my cup of tea. I like seeing them, but
also like the
guns. I couldn't spend all day doing it.
The guns are cool. They've got like deactivated guns, which I'm like, oh, that's sweet. When we were at Carronade, someone brought like a Martini Henry.
Yeah,
that's sweet. That's cool.
I'll need to see if I can take you down to John Stallard sometime.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
He's got all the guns. All deactivated, I guess. So, but that's. Everybody likes going to Stallard's to see the guns.
It's very cool.
Thinking of maybe getting a deactivated gun myself.
Why?
Because I'm thinking when I go to shows.
It always draws people in.
Go at shows as a reenactor.
Oh, what are you going for? What are you reenacting?
Well, I know it's.
Oh.
You look in the mirror and you think, oh, okay,
do like so SS Totenkopf. Cop.
Definitely not SS Totenkopf. I was thinking of. Something deserty, British.
If you do,
so I don't have a lot because I don't really want to wear a big, heavy, warm battle dress because I'm just going to melt. And I'm not the smallest. If for those that don't know me, I'm not the smallest chap in the world. Oh, and to be honest, fat, overweight reenactors tend to look a little bit
do something
inappropriate. Like, let's say so.
I think. I wonder what the film.
And I'm not going as Herman Gorman before you bring it up.
World War II.
Oh, he's looking now. Remember, we saw the reenactor that was in the film. The German guy got stuck in the tank. What a shit. I feel sorry for him, but it was funny.
I love it,
It was funny. So I don't want to be that guy, but I thought, get a pair of shorts on. You don't need to wear a shirt. Get a Thompson or something. Oh, and
looks so bad, though.
Shema?
Whatever. I'm not trying to be rude, but it would look so bad. And you got here.
Anything I'm gonna wear is gonna look bad.
Oh man, so you wouldn't look like a British Army soldier.
So should I go as?
Oh, most soldiers are not obese. Although,
I could go as Churchill with a Tommy gun.
Oh, that'd be sweet. There we go.
I could go as Captain Mannering. I'm not too sure I fancy that, but
Home Guard. There we go.
But then they've got to wear those wool uniforms. I'm just gonna melt.
They must have like a summer uniform, in the Home Guard.
I don't know. Anyway,
what, summer uniform.
Don't know a fancy Captain Man. But you're thinking of dressing your mum up as a whack or a waff or something.
I've come around to the idea of reenactors having to look the part. I was like, you don't want to see a Roman centurion who's got a cane, you know what I mean?
He's got a Zimmer.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like you're trying to.
So, but I thought it'd be quite interesting because people would come off an apple because everybody likes handling a gun.
Everyone does like it. Yeah, it's quite cool.
But I don't know how much a gun would cost, to be honest.
It's a few hundred quid, I think. A couple hundred quid?
Probably more than that. I don't know. I've never looked for it.
What gun do you want? Then we'll Google it.
Deactivated Thompson or Sten will probably be cheaper because you can probably get plenty of replicas of them.
Deactivated Sten for sale.
Oh, we're looking it up online. Next, we'll be looking up a tank.
Well, everyone,
let's buy a tank.
Everyone, £500. From around £500.
£500.
If you want a deactivated World War II Sten gun, a replica which ejects. £600.
It's a bit steep.
Also, you get the different types of Sten guns, and that one looks like shit.
So well, the that. Cheap Sten gun is the one I want.
I like the blank firing Sten. Oh, that's like £800.
I could get one 3D printed.
Could do, but then it wouldn't have the weight in that. It's plastic.
But it'd be nice and light to carry around.
If we want to entice people, you know, we want to pick up like a plastic Sten gun. Like, why don't you just bring a Nerf gun? Actually, my friend, he just bought like a Nerf gun, which is like based off like a gun in Halo, and I cannot wait to see
if they've got a BB Thompson.
Oh, Definitely, 100%. Someone have a BB.
And that would be cheaper than 500 quid. Sorry while we're discussing this online, everybody.
But because we're in Scotland, you need to get registered with the police and everything, which is kind of hassle.
Yeah.
But if you activated guns, you don't need to. For some reason. That is a wise law.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, it depends what you're doing them for. Anyway, we are digressing. Have we got any more bolt action to talk about?
BB Gun Thompson, 30 quid. But it looks shit. It's cheap, but it looks absolute garbage.
We shall see. I think on that note, we shall pack it in for tonight and say mahalo, everybody.
See ya.
And now that you've listened to The War Room, why not go to thewarhq.co.uk, use that code POD21 and get 15% off your goodies. Go on, you know The War HQ is dedicated to the Wargamer who plays Bolt Action.